Coming up on Patriots This Week, Buffaloing the Bills in a record-breaking performance.
Track to the record book. Touchdown 69 for Rob Gronkowski.
It's cool. But, I mean, always the wins are definitely way more important.
Love to see those touchdowns.
After being shut out by the Bills in Foxborough, Tom Brady and the Patriots would score in every quarter touchdown, and head to their bye week with the best
Patriots
record in football.
Touchdown, Patriots! Touchdown, Patriots!
Good to come in here and win.
Coach always says 7 wins won't get you anything in this league, and he's right.
Yet Halloween brought a Patriots shocker. Jamie Collins traded to Cleveland.
Next man up. Just got to keep moving forward.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
The Patriots reached the season's midpoint with Tom Brady's 198th career win, featuring Rob Gronkowski's record-setting 69th career touchdown. And, of course, they followed up with Bill Belichick's 121st trade since arriving in Foxborough. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with former three-time Super Bowl champion Matt Chatham and my radio partner Scott Zolak, longtime Patriots quarterback. And, guys, we're going to get to the deal, the November surprise for the Patriots to begin this bye week in our next segment. But let's start with the performance by the team on the field, featuring foremost Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, 41 points in Week 8 against Buffalo as the Pats improved to 7-1.
I thought Tom played really well in this game. I really do. I thought he handled the offense well. I thought he, at the line of scrimmage, commanded pretty much every play that he got him into. You know, Buffalo moved some people around. Rex wasn't real exotic. I just don't think he has the pieces that he had with the Jets. That Jets front seven, a little different than what he had there. Marcel Darius was back in his game. He caused a little bit of a problem. Patriots didn't run the ball like I thought they were going to try to attempt to run the ball, but Brady was really clean in the pocket, took a couple shots. I didn't like the hits at the end, but Gronkowski at full steam, full health, he's unstoppable.
Efficient day. I like the way they sort of jumped out, and I think it was some of those real clean series where they just sort of iteratively went down the field. They did what they wanted to do. The thing I would say about the running game is that it was a good situational running game. It was not like a pile-up stats kind of day.
Tom Brady had not thrown a touchdown pass to a wide receiver before Sunday, and the Pats got on the board after Buffalo took a 3-0 lead with Brady showing his mobility. So they scored the first touchdown, Brady to Amendola. Then they hit on a long ball, Brady to Chris Hogan.
Yeah, Chris Hogan was money on that game. You know, the ability to run through coverage, that's very important to have somebody else other than Edelman, other than Amendola, to continually, you know, depend on those guys and have Gronkowski be your deep threat. Hogan's starting to turn into a little bit of a deep threat here. It's the deep crosses. It's the go routes. But to what you said about Brady on the mobility plays, the more he does that, and he's been doing that the last 2.5, 3 years, it's going to keep everybody in play. So I think everybody, when you're running your route, you're never going to be dead. You're always going to have to stay alive.
How are the two tight ends effective when they mirror one another? You see them lined up on opposite sides of the line, whether it's a hand down for each or in a stand-up position, flex tight ends. How do they complicate things for defense?
Well, they complicate it because they're both really good run blockers. You know, I thought Martellus Bennett would have been a soft receiving type tight end, but when Gronkowski was out, he really took over that role. So I think when you have two identical guys of that stature, you got to set strength. And so you're a defense, you play defense, your strong safety's got to call out, we going left or we going right. So you have the ability to keep people off balance.
The Pats got a huge lift right before halftime. They worked the clock beautifully and set up Steven Gostkowski for a 51-yard attempt at the buzzer. He finishes 5 for 5 on extra points and hits 2 field goals to get back on track.
It was not an easy day to kick either.
No.
Hitting on the screws at that 51, especially after seeing Dan miss that ball, and the announcers on the national broadcast were saying, hey, it ain't an easy kick one way or the other. Then he comes back and hits it on the screws, which as a golfer, we've been using the golfing analogy with him. This is like stepping to the tee, first tee, and just hitting one flush.
Buffalo's tough. Buffalo's tough to kick. Yeah. I don't care what time of year, whether it's, you know, when the fall, whether it's winter. I thought it was really good to get Steve that opportunity because that's kind of what gets him going here. You hit a couple of those, he goes 4 for 4 here next couple games, then we forget about that little downward spiral we were worrying about so much.
And a great reaction from his teammates, too. It was seemingly more than your usual celebration for a made field goal at the end of a half. And the Pats got a big kick return early in the second half, of course. Danny Amendola runs one 70-plus yards into Bills territory. That's a spark the Patriots seized on, and a spark they weren't getting in the return game
to
date.
And it's nice to see that he's got a little bit of a burst. You know, I'm starting to worry here. 2016, you see him catch it, and he sort of goes down. You know, 1-2 steps, and boom, down. Danny's got a burst now, so maybe he's getting a little bit healthy.
And again, you don't get returns like that without a nice tunnel. You know, they had to have those first few sort of blocks set up. So there's a path that's sort of made. Blockers did a great job on that return. concern. And then Danny does makes another couple guys miss on the second level. It's almost like an offensive play.
Of course, the featured tight end on Sunday was Rob Gronkowski, into the record books. 69th career touchdown, breaking Stanley Morgan's career record as a Patriot. Brady hits him for 53 yards down the right side. Gronk, of course, celebrating with a bow to the crowd, well-deserved.
Yeah.
But the kind of adversity he's fought through, too, to get to this mark, as quickly as he has, remarkably enough, since 2010.
Yeah, and I think the NFL. Injuries and coverage. Those are the two things that are going to complicate things for him. And I think this is about as healthy as he's been. I'm happy for him. So I think when he feels good, this offense is cranking.
I think having Martellus Bennett here could actually help extend Rob.
That's interesting. I mean, we're eight games into this, and
yeah.
He seems pretty darn healthy.
Well, you know? Yeah, I mean, you don't have to target him 12 and 13 and 14 times. You can target him 6, and you can get 100 yards out of just that. So if they're splitting, do you actually help yourself long-term having both those guys together? I think you do.
From the defensive point of view, Bills ran with success right from the second play of the game, 28 yards for Gillislee, and he averaged about 8 yards per carry. But what did you see as the game went along from the Patriots' defense?
Want to see them be better. That's one thing. You know, get off the field on third down. Don't allow them the amount of yards that they do on some of these drives, the 10-play drives, 11-play drives. I like to see them play a little bit more man-to-man, to tell you the truth. But the problem is, who's the guy doing it opposite Malcolm Butler? You know, it's Eric Rowe that got the start over Logan Ryan. Cyrus Jones was inactive again. I don't think they have a ton of depth from the defensive back standpoint, so you kind of got to pick your poison there and choose your spots. Malcolm Butler is getting healthy, too. You saw a great stick. He planted that back foot. Good tackle. I think this is 2 great weeks in a row by him.
For me, sort of the story of the defense, there's 2 things here to talk about. That opening drive was not good, but it ends good, which has sort of been the theme. It's like there was a couple shoddy, I would say 3 that I counted, where you would have a mental error, a guy not fitting in the front where he's supposed to fit, and then there was the fullback sort of getting away in an uncovered scramble situation. So 3 sort of busts, but then it ends with a stoppage in red zone territory and forcing a field goal. So it's like bad, but actually pretty good. The other portion to it, and again, this is how you judge this team differently than other defenses, because this team jumps on teams up 21 points, right? So what they're not yet great at is holding those kinds of leads and keeping teams from coming back in sloppy play. So you get out quite a bit, and then you have a couple series that'll get you chewed on a little bit by coach because they're not as clean as what you did early.
So the Patriots with no game to play in Week 9, anything but idle, a stunning trade made on that doorstep of this year's deadline. Back to talk about that right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Trey Flowers. The 6'2", 265-pound D lineman recorded the first sack of his NFL career when he corralled Tyrod Taylor for a 6-yard loss. The fourth-round pick in the 2015 draft spent most of his rookie season on injured reserve. But this year, the 23-year-old who played at the University of Arkansas has been a consistent contributor in a regular rotation at defensive end. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. As you know, back in the spring, the Patriots traded Chandler Jones, coming off a Pro Bowl year as a defensive end, heading into a contract year. And guys, that was a surprise. But this week, we got a stunning trade involving another Pro Bowler on the defensive side of the Pats, Jamie Collins, going to Cleveland.
This is what this coach does. And once we're past the shock and awe of it, I think you kind of get understanding that he's doing what's best for the team, and something's not right with this defense right now, so something needs to give.
It never happens in a vacuum. There's a lot of stuff that has to go on to make it okay to do something like this. Understand, they're the ones with the best information inside eval of who they've got in the event that they do something like this, right? The two things for me are Landon Roberts, and I think that comes out of left field. And it's certainly not to say that he's now the new Jamie and he'll do everything that Jamie did. It's not that, but it's a guy that's playing at a pretty high level when he's got an opportunity. And if he played as more you'd expect a lower round draft pick as a rookie to play, you would not be doing this. I highly doubt they'd be able to make this move. The second half of that is the addition of Mingo. So in most situations around the league, you rarely find all of these attributes in one guy. That's why Jamie was unusual. But I don't think net-net your team will necessarily be worse. You'll just have to find it from a couple different spots. I think that's what's happening.
When we talk about Collins and the decision to deal him at this time, as noted, Jones was going into a contract year. Same for Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
There have been varying reports. Adam Schefter reporting that the Patriots and Collins team far apart. There's also the subject of Collins' discipline in the defense. What are your thoughts about those two factors regarding the decision and the timing of it?
I think it's easy to do after the fact, because you could sit here and say, boy, he jumped outside when that guy ran that way. I don't know what the defensive call was, but on our broadcast, I said, ooh, looked like Jamie guessed inside, jumped inside, got caught inside, and then Gillislee takes it outside for 28 yards, that second play of the game. Jamie didn't start the game. You know, Robert started that game. So Jamie, you know, he's sort of subbing in, subbing out. I think Jamie is a better player when he would be allowed to get out there and get in a rhythm and sort of freestyle and do what he wants to do. But that's not what they do in this defense.
And sometimes when you make a guess and take a risk and it doesn't hurt you as much, like it's the play that could have been a two-yard gain that became a six. Six doesn't bother you, doesn't create a highlight, doesn't create sort of a topic for a show like this. You go into a defensive meeting room and it causes a two to become a six, not a big issue, right? And I think that's a lot of the so-called freelancing, that you could look at tape of Jamie week in, week out, and there are those, right? It becomes a problem when it's a 28-yard one, and that's generally where it becomes more of an adjutant. And when the defense isn't, as O says, sort of playing to what the expectations are, it's easier to point at those kinds of things.
And bottom line, he's not going to Pittsburgh, he's not going to Denver, he's not going to the Jets, he's not going to Buffalo. You send him to Cleveland, a team that you already played, and you know, you're probably not
sharing lockers with AJ Derby. Right. So, you know.
Yeah.
And although the Patriots defense is among the league's best when it comes to the most important category, and that scoring defense, nonetheless, they haven't made a lot of plays, at least up to expectations to this point, whether it's sacks or takeaways. This defense, a lot of people believe, got a message in the trade of Jamie Collins to Cleveland. What do you think the message is received and translated in that locker room by the defenders especially?
The no one player is ever above the team or the scheme or the system. You know, it starts with Brady. They did it to Randy Moss 4 games into it. Those are planet-type players. Jamie's a heck of an athlete, but it's a good message sending to the team to a bye. You know, heading out for 4 days. You got 4 days of vacation. Better watch what you do during those 4 days of vacation. Better work out a little bit, because when you come back, that defense better be ready to go.
And again, I always think there needs to be context there, that you're able to send that message because you did a couple other things in transactions that made it possible. The other thing that will be interesting to watch, the message has been made to some of these other guys who are sitting in the wings presuming big extensions as well. And I think a lot of them have deserved it. They're high towers, potentially, if it was Bennett, Butler. These guys are, I wouldn't be surprised if they've had a conversation or two with their agents and sort of preening for what could be a contract. It makes you sort of pause and say, you know what, next year's deal doesn't matter. Let me sort of play in this system and do it their way and do it at a high level, and then let those things take care of themselves.
When we come back on Patriots This Week, we'll talk about a quarterback who's been none too pleased about some of the extra hits he's been taking of late.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show on the bye week. Bye week means everybody's off, except your boy Zoe. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at Rob Gronkowski's record-breaking 69th touchdown. Go ahead, everybody can giggle. But right here, I want you to freeze it right here. What you see, great pocket presence by Tom Brady. He doesn't get rattled. He doesn't get flustered. Cannon squares it off. Look at Joe Tooney right here looking back to get some help. Watch Brady slide up in the pocket right there, deliver a strike to the big boy. I like the moves right here. He runs away from the safety. There's no safety help over the top. We're going to get a great look right here. So there you go. Nice bow. Pretty good Gronk spike. Haven't had a lot of those. Freeze it right there. This is what Brady sees. You flex James White out right here. You got Hogan here in the slot. Here's Edelman working here. Just this little move by Edelman freezes this safety. What you have is quarter coverage. That's 4 quarters right across. Brady's looking at his chops right now. Go ahead and roll the tape, because watch this. Nobody at home, baby. You get the big boy like that. Use the body, give him a great target. That's a phenomenal throw. It's almost the role reversal of what you had in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago. And here you go again. Just a little shimmy shake right there. It's a man amongst boys right now. That's the best tight end I ever seen play the game. 69 touchdowns. He's got a lot more to go. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues. And, guys, Cam Newton's been outspoken, going back really to last year with the beef he had with that hockey league on the field, about extra hits he's been taking and maybe not being paid respect by officials around the league. And it's come to a head. Wanted an audience with Roger Goodell. He got one this week.
I think Cam has a legitimate beef right here. And you look at the way he breaks the pocket. He breaks containment. He's such a big guy. 6'6". He's listed at 250. I'm 250. He's 275, 280, and it's all muscle. So when he breaks that containment in the pocket, he becomes a runner. He's so darn big, it's like Gronkowski. Gronkowski doesn't get the calls. Cam Newton doesn't get the calls. When he's in the pocket, though, and somebody's down at the knees, and they're taking knees out, and they're doing headshots on him, he should be treated like a quintessential drop-back quarterback.
Yeah, it's a bunny, and I think that's
probably, and you're in the pocket, call it.
That's where the frustration sort of came from, I think, that those are easy calls, right? The guy that's job and is just watch the pocket is standing there staring and choosing not to throw that flag. And it's Calais Campbell. It's a 6'8 yeah. guy diving through the leg. You cannot miss that. If you miss that, you'll miss all of them. So you're choosing not to call that. And he made the comment sort of the tail end of his rant. He's like, could have been my ACL. And it's, you know, we've seen that. We've seen Martellus
like
Bennett not get the call. His perfect dive through the back of the legs. Knees, you know, hey, maybe they're going to value them less than heads. It looks like players and coaches now have license to criticize the NFL.
I love that.
If
you're going to call the play the same way, call the same play in every game. Don't show us what illegal contact is and then you let a guy get away with roughing. There's no consistency with downfield calls.
Meanwhile, they threw 23 flags on the Oakland Raiders for 200 penalty yards in Oakland's overtime win over Tampa Bay. And the Raiders were better than all of that because Derek Carr threw for 500-plus yards.
And he's on pace right now. I think 17 touchdowns, 4 picks. And these are MVP-type numbers, guys, like 2,500 yards. We're at the halfway point. I really like Carr. You know, he's starting to be a formidable foe out west for teams like Denver, like San Diego. That's a big matchup Sunday night. You got Denver and you've got the Raiders. We're going to see if the Raiders are for real.
Yeah, I enjoy it just because, again, he's not Tom Brady. I get that. But if you look at that roster, Cooper, Crabtree, Roberts.
He's done this since he was a rookie, though. He
spreads
well.
He spreads the ball. Again, it's just not luck hitting Hilton every time. It's a guy that goes for, he really spreads the ball throughout his offense.
All right, that's the story in Oakland. When we come back, the focus is back on Foxborough with Matt and Zoe right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
After missing last season, it's been a slow comeback year for Jordy Nelson, but the wideouts seem to get back on track versus the Falcons. So make sure you start him when the weak secondary of the Colts comes to Lambeau Field. The Ravens and Terrence West are coming off the bye. Make sure you sit the Baltimore running back again this week. West will have a tough time at home against the Steelers' defense. The back you need to pick up and start is Devontae Booker. The rookie has taken over as Denver's number one running threat, and there's a good bet he'll find the end zone in Oakland. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Final minute with final thoughts from Matt Chatham. Matt, bye week, self-scouting for the Patriots. What do you want to see this team address down the stretch?
Just consistency. I don't think there's a glaring need. I don't think there's a hole where it's like, okay, this part of their game, they can't do this. The people aren't here on the roster to solve that. I think that's in part why the trade deadline didn't provide some element that they didn't have. I think they have in-house what they believe they need to do it. They just need to be more consistent. So if you're looking defensively on something they're not doing on third down or something they're not doing in the run game in some certain situation, it's back to the practice week and just making sure the call is run with integrity. There's Roger's word.
I got any time left?
Oh, wow.
I want to see him continue to run the football. You know, I don't want them to just quit running because Brady's back and we're going to rely on him throwing the ball 50 times. I want to see them develop somebody opposite Butler. They need more depth, and they got to develop a pass rush, and that's complementary football. Continued success on special teams. You know, get Gostkowski going here. I think Steve's going to be big as this season winds down. Run the ball, pass rush, kick. Easy things to do in football, right?
Do you guys have the weekend off? Enjoy it.
Hey, it's a bye weekend. Go out and buy us something nice, man.
Wow. Right? I don't think that's how they
you host the show. You make a lot of money. You can't hide money. Look at that suit. You know? Throw it the break.
Yeah, thank you, Zoe. I appreciate that. And for Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us on Patriots This Week. You enjoy the bye week. So long, everybody.